You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter, with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Jeff Lang with Radio Mankato. Every week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. For the next few segments of Surrounded by History, we will dig into the history, the stories, behind some of our city parks. Over the years, the Historical Society has collaborated with the City of Mankato to create a heritage plaque program that places green cast iron historic plaques around our community, highlighting our local historic places. There are currently 18 heritage plaques installed around Mankato at historic buildings and homes and some of our city parks. Today, we hope you will enjoy being surrounded by the history of Riverfront Park. So, Riverfront Park is one of our newest parks. We were kind of chatting about that a little bit. It is located at 410 West Rock Street. Ugh, that's a tongue
Four
twist.
310.
Oh, I'm sorry. 310.
Okay.
Goodness, I was so tongue twisted on West Rock. That is, for those of you that are just like, where is Rock Street? What are you talking about? That's in what we refer to as Old Town, that part of town. It's if you're driving north on a Riverfront Drive through Old Town, you will turn left onto Rock Street. That's the corner where Mom and Pop's Ice Cream is, the Oleander, and the Eagles Club.
And it's actually one of the hardest places to tell people to go, I feel like, when
exactly.
They're new to town.
Yes.
And it's because it's a different area for a park.
Right.
But what we've done behind, when you finally back there, has been very well obviously received. But the best way I tell anybody who's new, including some new employees here, just go to the Ole and turn towards the river.
I love it.
And they
it.
Always find it.
Exactly. That's good. And they also do have like a stone monument sign
that's
that
true.
Does point you to the amphitheater, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, but also Riverfront Park. So this is one of our newest city parks in our community. But we've told you to kind of turn by the Oleander, but you also want to just keep going to like you're going to run into the river because it is really tucked way back there. Today, the park features a playground, picnic shelters, walking trail along the Minnesota River. It's one of the few spots in Mankato here and down at Sibley Park where you have access to the river away from the flood walls. And there's a beautiful green space. And, of course, our very own Vetterstone Amphitheater that is located at this park as well. So a lot of people go down to this park for concerts and for a rib fest and all that fun stuff. But there is it's a great space to kind of journey down to even when then there isn't something crazy going on down there, something fun. So as you can imagine, because we're talking about it, at this park you'll also spot a green heritage plaque. But it's kind of in a weird spot. So this one is as you enter the park near Dotson Iron Castings. So you really have to keep an eye out for it because it's kind of by the railroad tracks. But if you're walking, because a lot of times to get to the park, especially for special events, you are parking a little bit of ways and walking down into the park, that's where you'll catch it. It's off to your right-hand side as you're entering the park. So like we mentioned, this is one of the newest parks in Mankato. The amphitheater actually opened in 2010. So a lot of the things we've been talking about lately have taken us back into the 1890s and early 1900s, but this is one of our newer parks. For a very long time, this city land was affectionately known as the dump. So if we did any excavations out there, we'd probably find a lot of history. But it's also where water treatment plants are and all that good stuff. But it's a parcel of land that puts us right on the Minnesota River. So it's a beautiful, beautiful green space. But it does have a really interesting, a lot of people don't know the history of Old Town or this part of Mankato, but this was, this dates back. We've been chatting a little bit about really how Mankato kind of developed and where, how it stretched out and stuff. This is the hub, the birthplace of industrial and commercial development in Mankato. A lot of people don't realize that, but this Old Town area and Riverfront Park, they tie back to that original founding of Mankato in 1852, because it's along the banks of the Minnesota River. This is where steamboat transportation would have been landing. You can see all of the railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. And so railroad plays a huge part of the development of the town, the industrial and commercial. And so when you realize those railroad tracks and you look and you're like, wow, that's right attached to Arden Mills. Oh, well, that makes sense. They're shipping flour out. You know, all of these different pieces is a very industrial area. If at the time they could have in industrial neighborhoods, well, this is it. This mm-hmm. was the space. So really back from Riverfront Drive, which at the time was known as Front Street, to the river, in that space alone, there were manufacturing plants, there was a textile mill, breweries, bottling companies. The Eagles Club was actually a bottling company. That's what that original building was used for. Tractor farm equipment plants, meat processing, the foundry, which is Dotson Iron Castings. That goes way, way, way back. And so all of this, this industry that was happening in this space, and then you've got the river with the steamboat transportation, the railroad transportation, it just all came together. Manufacturing, technology, distribution, not just locally, but across the world. And so it's a really interesting space that we don't necessarily think a lot about today. And there's still some major industries that are based out of this part of town. And they kind of fly under the radar, but they are international companies. They are creating a product that is being shipped around the world.
Crazy thing about, because it's here in Mankato, like always, it's such a small town mentality we have, but we really are doing so much for other places in coming, and they get on the train tracks there too, I'm guessing, still.
Right. They're still using the train for that type of transportation. So this area too, in that early history, was the hub for power. So the electric company, gas, oil distribution, all of that was really hubbed out of this part of the community as well. And then, of course, retail, it's the marketplace. So we're seeing some of that happening again in the old town area with some of the little shops and little restaurants. But again, this is that that area that was some marketplace, retail marketplace, as well as industry. So today, we really celebrate Riverfront Park is a celebration of those captains of industry who founded and developed and built our community. And we don't think of it that way because we think of Riverfront Park and we think of the amphitheater.
Right.
And we think of music.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Riverfront Park is known for. And so that's immediately what you'd think of. But then you think back to what, like you said, what it was used for. And, first when the park came around, people were like, oh, that's a really different area. And then you hear, well, it was kind of a dump at the time, too.
Literally.
But look what literally. But then to see what it's become and how we've come up top of that. And yeah, that's where you might still – people always say it's kind of weird to get back there. But once you're there – we've encompassed what that area maybe looked like at first when it first started, before it was industrialized even.
Yeah.
And how beautiful it is. And now we're on the river.
Right. Exactly. And I encourage people, the next time you're back in that space, look around, look at the warehouses and look at the industry that's in that area and realize that this goes right back to the very beginning of our town, which is so exciting. So very, very exciting.
Maybe it wasn't meant to be that looked at this way, but that Mankato piece made of iron down there, it fits perfectly
for that
thought process of kind of, hey, this is a nod to the people who helped build the community.
Yeah. Ooh, nice job. I love that. I don't know if the city intended for that or not.
I think that was the intention, but it works.
It's perfect. So I do have a fun little story about a short-lived, innovative industry that had a worldwide impact. So this is a fun little story. In 1941, a gentleman named Armin Kleinschmidt was a Mankato native, and he had an idea. So 1941, let's get our bearings there. We're entering into the World War I. We're coming out of the Great Depression. And so really food is an issue in the Great Depression, right? We've got dust bowls. We've got the part of what contributed to the Great Depression was the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So there's droughts and there's somewhat of a small scale famine. I mean, the Great Depression is rough. It's hard. And then we kind of get jolted out of it with World War II, in 1941. So Kleinschmidt has an idea of canning carp, which is a lake fish.
It's not a popular fish, I'd say.
It's not. So really, he kind of chooses. He's thinking about lake fish. How can we can lake fish? He's watched his mother over the years can meat. I mean, that was a pretty common, you know, when you get to the end of a season, you're canning vegetables or whatever. Right. And so it was very common for people to can meat as a way to preserve it over the winter months. And you just use a pressure cooker and you kind of do that. So he had an idea. Well, why aren't we doing that to fish? Why can't we do that? And so he kind of developed this trend of being able to find a way to can or preserve freshwater fish, in this case, carp. So the interesting thing during the Second World War, we've talked on this show before about how there were some different things that were rationed.
Yep.
Well, the fish was not one of those items that was rationed. So that's the other reason why he kind of went down this path. He's like, they're not rationing this, and it's all in all of these lakes and all of these rivers all around us. So why don't we take advantage of it? So eventually he figures out the process that of a way to can freshwater fish in our neck of the woods. It was carp, and to be able to make it so that it could be preserved and it could be eaten by anybody around. So he starts developing the idea, and eventually he opens a factory in Mankato. And so in 1945, he opens the factory. And this is, again, if you think of military history, this is really the height of World War II. We're getting very close to the end, but we're still in the height of World War II. Well, he starts opening a factory for a carp packing plant. And in its height, they were producing or working through manufacturing or processing, I should say, 2,000 pounds of fish an hour.
Wow.
So the day would begin with 10,000 pounds of raw fish getting packed in ice that were brought in from nearby towns. So literally people were kind of put to work, so to speak, by going out and fishing.
Good job if you love it.
Good job, right. And so then they would just be bringing in like truckloads of fish. So the carp was so abundant. They'd just be bringing it in, and then it would get dropped off at the carp packing plant, and then they'd start processing it. So they the edible portion of the fish would then go into cans for human consumption, and any leftover pieces would get put into pet food, which was also sold locally.
Okay.
So there, I mean, you think about it. It's similar to eating like tuna out of a can. I'm not a
big fish guy, which is, I know, unheard of in the area, I guess. But this already is like, okay, packed or canned fish. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yep. But tuna.
Yep. There is other stuff. Yep.
We got tuna, but we're doing the carp. It takes an interesting twist. The U.S. military becomes very interested in his industry, and they ultimately become the sole consumer of his products. So they end up buying, like, so he still produces the carp, but what the U.S. military has now is a contract with him, and they're sending all of that canned carp all over Europe during World War II, and it even all the way into the Korea during the Korean War, during the U.S. involvement in Korea. So that goes into the 1950s, past World War II. So he eventually is given an award for service in the World War II due to his resourcefulness and the contribution he made to the war effort by providing food in a different way. So as you can imagine, it was a very successful little industry, but it didn't last very long. It brought Mankato out of the economic downturn of the Great Depression. It fed people during World War II. It put people to work during World War II. But as you can imagine, it didn't take off.
Didn't take off.
You know, it wasn't the tuna fish in a can. It was not as exciting.
Carpet a can just doesn't sound so great.
No, I don't think they could figure out what casseroles to put it in. So the company went bankrupt in the 1950s and the plant shut down, leaving behind this legacy of Mankato's innovation. But this factory that I've been talking about, this was all in that area where Riverfront Park now sits and stands. Okay. That this is one of those factories that was back in that area, and you can so it's a kind of a fun little twist of story. So we've always thought this is a very interesting little story, and we've actually written a book about Kleinschmidt and the work that he did, the history of the carp in our lakes. Now there's a big issue with the Asian carp in the lakes. Well, that ties back a little bit to this project. Okay. And so we have written a book called The Multifaceted Carp. And we've published the book at the Blue Earth County Historical Society. If you're interested in learning more about Kleinschmidt and his story and about the carp in this area, you could pick up that book at the History Center. It's also available to purchase online through our gift shop, and that's at blueearthcountyhistory.com. I don't usually plug that kind of stuff on this podcast, but if you have a little interest in learning more about this crazy story about a carp packing plant in Mankato that really helped to feed people during World War II and the Korean War, you might want to pick it up and read a little bit more into the story behind the stories.
I mean, it's quite a story on the count that, I mean, in my head anyway, if you have an industry and the military picks up on it and they are going to solely use you just made bank.
Yeah.
I mean, and to think about what this guy was probably bringing in and then sadly end up going bankrupt still afterwards is quite the story. And in just the innovation of it in general of, we'll use carp as our food is kind of crazy.
I know. And you know, it does seem like a really far-fetched idea. And then you realize, who's going to have a tuna sandwich for lunch today? You know, it's not that far off. But, of course, that's not freshwater fish either. It's just a really interesting little story. The fact that he just watched his mom, you know, with her pressure cooker and tried to figure out a way to basically pressure cook and preserve lake fish. And if you didn't know this, I have a fun little tidbit, fun little fact. Blue Earth County actually has the most miles of waterway in the entire state of Minnesota. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I suppose we get to cheat because we get Blue Earth River or Minnesota River coming in and out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way that it's shaped through town. And we have a lot of lakes. Does that include lakes then?
It's just miles of rivers.
Just miles of rivers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So all of the waterways that we have in Blue Earth County, we have the most miles of waterways.
That's pretty – well, then you think about – oh, that's the lakes up there. It's Lake of the Woods, but it's lakes.
And, right.
But some of those counties, St. Louis County and stuff, that's big counties, but – still, they don't have the rivers coming through like we do. That's cool.
Yeah. So I don't know if I don't know if the carp were being harvested out of the lakes or the rivers or both. So kind of a fun little twist, a fun little story, and a fun little way to, when you're back down at Riverfront Park, to really be thinking about some of that really innovative things that were taking place right there in our history and our past, and the railroad was being used to ship it out literally all over the world, and it's still happening today, which is so exciting.
That's the best part about it.
I mean, Dotson was originally the foundry that was a key industry for Mankato, still operating today, still doing their iron casting and the work that they're doing. Ardent Mills stands as a testament to the flour industry with the Hubbard Milling Company. They opened in the 1870s, and they're still manufacturing flour out of that building. They're still using some of the original equipment.
Things that people don't think about when they think about Mankato, and that's what I would say that is. You know, they don't think they were still doing stuff for flour and what Dotson's doing down there, how they work and ship stuff out.
Exactly. And there were so many different companies that maybe had their starts down in this area of town, and then they end up blossoming or, you know, building larger facilities or whatever it might be. So it's just it's really exciting to be thinking about that. And we've talked on a previous episode about Washington Park. And again, the Old Town and Washington Park, those two kind of tie together, as the Washington Park neighborhood is where the working class class were living. Right. And we could see that with this, the houses that are a little bit closer together, a little bit smaller in scale and size. And so, again, it makes sense because if you think about Old Town and you think of it today and you're like, well, there's not a lot of business down here. So why would this be a working class neighborhood? It's because of all these factories.
All the factories that were there.
And
they are.
But they're all behind Riverfront Drive. They're all in that area where we now have the park. That's where all of that, those factories and that industry was located along the railroad tracks and along the river.
Very cool.
So we hope that you have enjoyed today's program as we've explored the history of Riverfront Park, the history of a place, a city park along the Minnesota River, from the captains of industry and innovation to today's premier event venue of the Vetterstone Amphitheater. All of this information we share to you comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.